The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And now we join the lunchtime doctor. The most loved doctor on the airwaves is here. Dr. Safia Mohammed is ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. Get in touch with your lunchtime doctor during the show. You can call 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, the WhatsApp number is 306-1065. Good afternoon to you, doctor.
Good afternoon, Tusker. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. And of course, our listeners outside of Trinidad and Tobago, a warm welcome to our new listeners to the Lunchtime Doctor. I am Dr. Safia Mohammed, here to help you optimize your health. Here, we dissect these medical challenges. Get and make sure you're on the pathway to proper healing. And of course, any concerns when it comes to health that you want us analyze, be it your blood reports, be it what you're eating, be it the new fads and trends and diets, let us know and we're here to give that advice. All that and more, all on your Lunchtime Doctor.
And here we give you the numbers again. The numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065.
Thank you so much, Tusker. So yesterday we were across at Superfarm Diego Martin and we were able to meet so many of our loyal listeners. Again, I express my appreciation for all those listeners taking the time to come out to have the conversation live on radio instead. And of course, just to meet and greet the team, knowing that we're making such a difference across the country, taking healthcare to our communities, making it more accessible, means a lot to myself and the entire team. So thank you, and of course, a warm thank you to Superfarm and our incoming sponsor, Dalton Brong Optometrist. Later on in the program, you're going to get that health tip, that eye care health tip, brought to you specifically by Dalton Brong Optometrist.
And we've have a message already. Good afternoon, doctor. I'm a 38-year-old vegan and I find my energy isn't the same. My sleep is the best, but I'm trying. Question, should I be taking a vitamin or B12?
It's a great question. When it comes to vegans, we do need to optimize or adjust their nutrition to ensure that they get sufficient proteins. Most persons, their protein source is, of course, meat. In the case with vegans, we need to ensure that you're getting across the board as many protein sources. Now, with our vegetables, and of course, I'm not too sure if you have some persons are pesco vegans, so they still get seafood. Some persons still do the eggs. We need to have as many forms of protein as possible. And what we see with our vegans is they do have a thiamine deficiency. Thiamine is specifically B1, and yes, it is considered a multivitamin in terms of you will get your B complex, so it may have the B1, the B6, the B12, or you can look for your general multivitamins. I'm very much a fan of supporting the multivitamin support for or giving that advice to our vegans, because we've seen vegans in particular unfortunately suffer with these effects of the thiamine deficiency, because in this case their diet is not enough to cover and to ensure they get all the necessary nutrients. So yes, but please be guided by your healthcare professional, be it a pharmacist or your general doctor. Be guided by a healthcare professional just in case there aren't any additional allergies in terms of when you are taking or what specific multivitamin is prescribed for you. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good afternoon, Doc. Basis in 10 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. And of course, you're on. And hi to all those, I don't know if you, thank all those who came out yesterday to Superfarm up in my neck of the woods up there in Diego Martin.
We were in your neck of the woods. Yes, Bisa. We thank them. And you know, even after the show finished, we still stayed on about an hour just chatting with patients because not everyone got to be queued in into the program on time because there were so many persons. So we stayed on for about an hour, chatted with persons. And yes, Diego Martin, Superfarm, it was such a warm welcome. All of the staff, thank you so much. And of course, all of our loyal listeners that came out.
All right, folks. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. Yes, we're being heard on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5 FM. You could feel free to message or other frequencies, and they will send your messages right to us. Dear Doc, I've been getting a pain in my neck for about 2 weeks now. Not that I'm sleeping bad, there's just a sharp pain on the side of my neck. What do you think could be causing this?
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, any sort of pains is concern. When it comes to the neck, and I'm glad you already identified that it's not related to malpositioning when it comes to sleeping, but as one ages, there is the risk of something called cervical spondylitis. And I bring this particular diagnosis to the forefront because it is one of the more common diagnoses when there is pains in the neck. What the person may present with is if there's any sort of pinched nerve or deteriorating disc. And now that vertebrae, the cervical vertebrae, which is the vertebrae within the neck area, may unfortunately impinge or compress upon the disc. That may lead to the pain. Now, there are other causes for pain in the neck. It may be related to the temporomandibular jaw. So it may be dental and related. So it may be something outside of the medical in terms of dental and within the oral cavity, and it's now a referred pain. So there are quite a few things that can be the cause of this neck pain. What I definitely want you to do is note these things, have optimized yourself with these answers so that when you do go to your healthcare professional, you feel comfortable to have that conversation with your doctor and get to the root cause of the pain. Remember, it can always be other things. These are just what we see. More commonly, a more detailed investigation is needed, especially for neck pain. Again, when it comes to pain, that's not something we take lightly. Get it checked out sooner rather than later. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good day, doctor. I listen to you every day. Could you tell me the signs of high cholesterol?
Excellent question. And I honestly think about half of our population has high cholesterol. So let's look at this. And I hope persons who are listening every day, thank you to the person who messaged in. We appreciate your loyal listenership. I hope everyone who is listening pays attention here. Let's start from the very top. First and foremost, in terms of what a doctor can see, one of the patients that came yesterday, it was clear that they had high cholesterol, and I could have diagnosed that without even a blood test. There is in something just around the eyes, we can see a cholesterol deposit, or there can even be deposits just under. So just from the eyes alone, we can identify if someone has high cholesterol. That's just one of the signs and symptoms. Typically, we would get the signs and we'll get the high cholesterol value from your blood investigations, your total cholesterol that needs to be a fasting cholesterol. However, if one has high cholesterol and the deposits within the arteries of the heart, then you're going to get chest pains. If one has high cholesterol and deposits within the arteries or the veins of the lower limbs, then you're going to get peripheral vascular disease. You may feel pain in the lower limbs. That pain is called claudication. So there are many signs and symptoms of high cholesterol. It definitely, your cholesterol be a test at every medical checkup or at least once a year. Now, we know some of the foods that we eat have high cholesterols associated to it. Processed foods, fatty foods, oily foods. So wherever we can, stay away from them. But definitely, at least once a year, get a proper quantitative test to get your cholesterol checked. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks, I saw some calls were coming in while the doctors were talking there. So 627-3223, 625-2257. All right, let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I am 74 years of age. I do an ultrasound, and when I go back to the doctor tells me I have some inflammation in my tummy. And now, when I finish eating, I just feel a heat come over my body.
Did you hear that, Doc?
Thank you so much. Yes, I did. Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, any sort of concerns with the inflammatory process, inflammation, definitely is concerning. What we would, because you just gave us the scenario. You didn't necessarily ask what question you were concerned about. But I'm assuming the pain in the tummy, what to do with that inflammatory process. I'm glad, I'm very relieved that you took the first step, going to the healthcare professional and getting the checks up. The following thing now is if any specific medications were prescribed to make sure and stay consistent with it. When it comes to the tummy, and I believe it's the word tummy, she said. Is
yes.
That what you heard as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. When it comes to any sort of inflammatory process, one may experience, especially if it's the gut, you may have that diarrhea or vomiting or nausea or pain. Certainly ensure that you're taking the necessary medications. We want to reduce that inflammatory process. So the next time you go, I'd want them to check something called a CRP, the C-reactive protein. That gives us a good idea of how high that inflammatory count is in the body. It is non-specific, but it still gives us an idea of the inflammatory reactions. And then we'll know, okay, exactly what we need to treat. You see, when there are signs and symptoms, that is the presentation, but we need to get to the root cause. So let's go one step further. Get it checked out properly, and then we can definitely analyze and give that solution as to what would be the treatments. Hope that answered your question.
All right, here's another concern here. Good afternoon, doctor. Since 2020, the doctor saw me once in the eye clinic in the San Fernando General Hospital. Then the last two times I went, they said they could not find my files. It happens a lot to a lot of people. They just give you a new appointment and a new prescription. What advice can you give me?
I'm so, so sorry. Yes, I understand how frustrating it is. Believe me, it's frustrating for us as well as medical care professionals. I worked in San Fernando General a long time ago, but even back then we had those same concerns with records. Yes, I'm really sorry this is happening. I've noted it while the message came in, and I'm certainly going to redirect this complaint to that department and at least see what we can get done. But here's what I suggest. I would encourage any patient at any public health institution, take a diary. It could be a small one that you can keep in your handbag, and just note key things. Note the date you go to the doctor, note who you are seeing, what the diagnosis is, and of course the medications. So if you saw Dr. X and they prescribe this particular eye drops, then you have it noted right there, all in one diary. That way, you literally have your own carbon copy, manual carbon copy of your medical records. Have a little idea of your own allergies, what other medications you are on. This will assist in that process of creating the new record. And yes, I completely agree that the records department in all of the public hospitals need to be a lot more efficient and a lot more is considerably optimized. It's been an age-old concern, and I would say concern that all of us have, not just the medical, not just the patients, but the medical care professionals. In the, not that what I suggested is a solution, but it definitely is a way you can feel a lot more in control of your medical history. I know that's not the answer to the problem, but I hope it helps in your next steps when next you have to go to the doctor.
Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah, yes. I am in the hematology clinic, right? I'm being called in irregular. You know who's speaking? I'm the one 3 whole year ago that I did some treatment abroad. So I went to do a test, again, a blood test. They called me in to do it. Today is what day? Wednesday? Monday. When I went there, the nurse was telling me, why am I still in the hematology clinic in San Fernando when I should be in the oncology section, the outpatient clinic? I said, well, nurse, I'm coming here, and all the doctor do is just put that syringe, that IV in me to get blood transfusion when I need. So I really don't know, because when I am abroad, when I was abroad, you had 6 doctors will come every morning, and they will come computerized. There's no paper. Computerized with everything and read out everything to you and sit down with you and discuss every single detail of what is the next step and what is the present step. And that was to be a score in my heart, that a piece. But when I joined in the clinic San Fernando and all these things, it's like I understand a lot of doctor came to you, very junior, because I could tell that. Because when I asked the doctor a question in the hematology clinic, she said, well, the doctor is on vacation. So you are telling me there's one senior hematologist, I can't remember his name, is on holiday. And when he comes back, well, then he could answer the questions that I have to ask. So it tells me the system, and I hope the Minister of Health listens to this program. It is so sad and so low in standard. I am sorry to say it. Thank you.
Again, I'm so sorry you're going through this. And again, we understand. Yes, when I worked outside of Trinidad, it is indeed what we would consider optimized first world healthcare. And what is available in our public health system here in Trinidad and Tobago definitely needs significant improvements. I am on that page with you. I do hope that persons who can make that difference in the Ministry of Health has noted it. I myself has personally noted it. I'm not in public health or a member or employee of Ministry of Health, but I definitely use my voice to make sure we get these messages to persons that can make change. It will be in their hands at present. What I can tell you is please don't allow our system to frustrate you to the point of even further ill health. You've already received your diagnosis. You are on that recovery stage. And yes, it requires now at this point, because of the diagnosis, numerous blood transfusions. And yes, we still need to be able to do that in the public health system. So please, if you have more interactions there, use that opportunity to not let them frustrate you. And yes, you're quite correct. Sometimes it's not the senior persons there, maybe more junior persons, and they themselves probably need a little bit of a quality assurance education and a tutorial. And it's something that I've literally just noted down to have to note into conversations when next we have those broad or multilateral meetings. So thank you so much for your contribution, and I'm sure your contribution will change the lives of many of our patients across Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, okay, let's get a call. Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for holding.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to find out something. If you have high blood pressure and you were on medication for years, but then you change your diet totally and the pressure has almost normalized, it's down to 120s. Is there a possibility that after being on medication for so long that you can come off of it, or you have to stay on the medication?
Thank you so much for calling in. That is an excellent question. Here's the good news. There is a significant possibility, like just about, say, 90%, that you can indeed be or downgraded or removed step by step. So we do it in a step by step process of removing the medication. We don't just stop the medication just like that, because at present it would be both the medication and your nutritional lifestyle habits that would keep the stabilization or that equilibrium. So what they do is they do step-by-step removing the medication and then get you completely off. There are one or two medications that we still may continue certain patients on if they're hypertensive, and that's to really protect further complications later on. So the one of those mainstay for any patient who is hypertensive is indeed aspirin. We obviously recommend the enteric coated aspirin. So aspirin is not one of those we ever discontinue. But definitely the antihypertensives, I am here to tell you, I've discontinued many of my patients from the specific antihypertensive because, one, they've taken such transformative roles in their lifestyle habits, staying and adhering consistently to nutrition and, of course, to exercise, managing their stress. So I'm so pleased to hear that you are on that journey. I hope it's an inspiration to all of our listeners. Have that conversation with your healthcare professional about removing or shifting some of your medication. They will know. They will know your renal function test as well. That's a key because we look at the creatinine clearance. One of the major complications of hypertensives is that it can affect their kidneys. So we may keep them on the medications only if there's kidney damage, because some of the medications tend to be nephroprotective. So it's cardioprotective, nephroprotective, protecting the kidneys and the general functioning of the kidneys. So have that conversation with your healthcare professional. Be familiar with your blood results. And of course, we wish you well on that, optimizing your lifestyle.
All right, let's get another question here. Call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Yes. Doctor, I just want to ask you one question. You almost brought tears to my eyes just now. I'm the patient with the leukemia, had the leukemia, AML. You told me that, you know, you said that I'll be helping a lot of people. Do you know when I was in that hospital, University of North Carolina, Cancer Hospital in North Carolina, while in my room and the service and treatment I was getting, I prayed every single day that something like this will be in Trinidad. When my doctor and the team came in, you know what I asked him? Dr. Joshua Zider, he's the chief oncologist of that hospital. I said, so are you willing to come to Trinidad and Tobago to have lectures on leukemia? He goes all over the world. And if it is arranged, would you be able to come? He said, surely. He gave me his email to give whoever. And I am not any power or authority like that, like you are. I would like, if this could really be a dream come true, that he could come with his team to Trinidad in some forum and lecture and teach even doctors and nurses about leukemia, because he's the chief oncologist and that is actually based only in leukemia, a very deadly disease, and getting people well. So I will listen off air. I will WhatsApp maybe the email address to your WhatsApp number.
Yes, I want you to hold on the line. Hold on the line. So you're going to directly, base will share back our WhatsApp number.
I have the WhatsApp number.
Fantastic. So send that information in. It will come straight to me as well. His name and as the email address. And we will certainly do what we can, even if it means we get a Zoom conversation.
Yes.
But we will certainly do what we can to have him as well share his, from his wisdom and expertise with our persons right here in Trinidad and Tobago. So
and doctor,
much,
this gentleman and his team is willing to do that, as you say, whether Zoom or whatever. And I assure you, because he emails me regularly and asks me how I'm going, he's concerned about me. He's trying even to get me back to come. He knows that. But he's trying, but he's want to liaise with my doctors when I have the clinic. And it will be a privilege for people who are suffering with leukemia. Rather, they have to run to India and China and America and England. We could set up something in this country, a hospital for leukemia, and see God do something and help people in this country. So I will email, I will WhatsApp that for you all the information, his personal email address. He responds immediately. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you. So thank you so very much. And yes, you would be helping a number of other persons right here. So this program, we know, continues to help persons across Trinidad and Tobago. So let's see who else is on the line, and let's make sure we get as many of our callers and messages.
All right, 12:30 on time. Of course, we do have your tip coming up later on. We're from Dalton Brong Optometrist. They are located at the corner of Queen and Sozano Streets in Arima. So we welcome them, and we look forward to that tip. 6273223. Let's take a call. Hello?
My blessed doctor, Beast Boy.
Yes, sir.
I love that lot. Well, I know you really need these things in this country, this rich country in the Caribbean, and we do have these things. You guys already get it. Doctor Maniba is here with me. We're holding a discussion here. He's going to do his blood test and potassium. It's about star. And the result of a star, max 6.24, right? Units mmol-1. And the range now is 3.50 to 5.10. And doctor tell him that's too high. He did a next one on Monday, and Monday he'll get the result. He would like to know what it means. Thanks a lot, doc. God bless you.
Well, on the line, I got the values. Which is the blood test he did?
Yes. One for potassium.
Potassium, sure.
Yes.
So.
It has three, though, but I could give you the three what he did because he said, I'll just maybe next week we might do the next two. I don't know if you're busy or what.
Yeah, sure. Let us know. Okay, let us know the values.
Potassium, it's about star. I've never seen this before in my thing, but it is one. It's about star 6.24.
Mm-hmm.
And then the range is 3.50 to 5.10. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Right,
let me explain this one in particular, right? Most times when there's a blood test done, that particular sample of the blood, there may be a process called hemolysis. That means there's a coagulation of the blood. And unfortunately, the potassium level can be affected. So that may not be truly representative of the patient. Now, this is just me giving an example of, I don't know the patient. I don't know if the patient is a diabetic or if it's a renal function. A patient with kidney disease that have distorted renal function values as well. But when there's a potassium value that's higher than usual, we don't take a first reading as the standard. And that's why it's recommended that there be a repeat, because there is that possibility of hemolysis, and that directly impacts upon the potassium value. So I say to you to share to your colleague, let him know that don't get worried about it. It could be absolutely a lab default that they will correct when the next sample is taken. It's important that, and I do hope the lab is also listening, that when they take the sample, they give the test tube that the blood is placed into a little bit of a swirl. That swirl mixes the blood with the elements within the test tube, so it stays proper in the correct form before it goes to the lab. And I'm hoping that all goes well with this blood test for your friend. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, of course, 6273223, 6252257. We have some WhatsApp messages coming up. But before that, just let me read this. Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brong Optometrist take care of it for you. Dalton Brong Optometrist uses the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams, OCT testing, pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and more. Just ask. Dalton Brong Optometrist also provides a range of stylish and practical spectacle frames and sunglasses. They also provide soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contact, all to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brong Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton-Brong Optometrist and check out their location at the corner of Queen and Susano Streets in Arima. Right, so the question.
Excellent. Now is just about a good time for us to share that eye care health tip.
Okay.
Courtesy Dalton-Brong Optometrist. You've got me information where they are. They are here to remind you, especially as we're moving into the carnival season. If you're out and about in the beach, remember that you must protect your eyes, be it your sunshades, or even if you're giving your eyes a rest of the night. Sunglasses are a great fashion accessory, but the most important important job is to protect your eyes from the sun's UV rays. When purchasing your sunglasses, look for the ones that block out 99 to 100% of the UVA and UVB radiation. Yes, the sun rays can also cause an eye keratitis. So make sure you have that particular knowledge in purchasing your protective eyewear or your sunshades. This is your eye care health tip, courtesy Dalton-Brong Optometrist.
All right. Good day, doctor. What is the best way to lower my cholesterol and blood pressure at home? I always get good results from you. Thanks.
Excellent question. I love questions like this, especially what we can do today at home. So here's this to everyone, not just to the person who sent in the message. First and foremost, things that affect our cholesterol is indeed what we're eating. Another thing that affects both our cholesterol and our blood pressure is, of course, exercise. If we start an exercise program today, and it doesn't even need to be something as structured as a program, it just means to be every day we're doing 15 minutes of exercise where our heart rate becomes a little bit elevated, so there's a bit of an aerobic burn. So you start to feel like you're sweating. That 15 minutes a day, the recommended is 30 minutes, but we want to move ourselves up to the comfortable frame of 30 minutes. 30 minutes three times a day, which is 90 minutes. So you can break up that 15 minutes one day, 20 minutes another day, 5 minutes one day, 1 hour another day. Starting today alone, in less than 3 weeks, you will not only feel a change in your body form, but you'll feel greater energy. You'll also see a couple pounds dropping. And in less than 3 weeks, you will see a change in your blood pressure just by starting exercise today. It could be something as gentle as walking up and down the steps. It can be just about walking in your area, in your community. Of course, in a group, and please be safe. You want to count at least, use it on your phone or use the apps on the watches. Or even if you're manually counting or checking the time, it's estimated to be about 3,000 to 5,000 steps you want to get in. The recommendation is 6,000 steps a day. Anywhere you want to start at, just start. So exercise is number one. Two, managing your stress. Let me give all of us who are listening here today a quick 1 minute exercise in bringing down your breathing rate. And I call it breathe 4-5-6. So if you're driving, you're not trying this. But those who are at home, those who are in the office and sitting, you want to take deep inhalations for 4 seconds. So you take an inhalation and allow it to extend 4 seconds. Hold it for 5 and then 6 seconds on your exhale. And just do that 5 times. Sit comfortably, be it on the ground, be it on the chair. And just do this for 1 minute. Breathe 4-5-6. You will actively feel a drop in your pulse. You may have a little pulse monitor at home, or you can even check manually, but you will feel a drop in your pulse. You will feel a calm across you. That in itself is a breathing mindfulness exercise that Johns Hopkins, that's one of the medical institutions in the States, recommend that we do at least 2 to 3 times a day, because persons do not use all of their lung capacity. So just by doing breathing exercises, managing your stress, exercise, watching what you're eating from today can right away affect positively, reduce your cholesterol, reduce your blood pressure values. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, 20 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Thank you very much for that tip there, doctor. And, of course, the help for the help in that caller there. All right. Hi, doctor. I just turned 40, a female who just turned 40. I tried to do basic blood tests annually. My question is, what are some blood tests I should be doing at this age? Note the family history of diabetes.
I missed the last part. They do have a family history of diabetes.
Yeah, have a family history of diabetes, yes.
Right. I'm glad that you know that, because it's so important we know family history of diabetes or blood pressure or any cancers. At this age, it's crucially important, the ABCs, know your glycosylated HbA1c, glycosylated hemoglobin. So know your fasting HbA1c, know your cholesterol values, and do a total cholesterol, not just the one value. We want the full breakdown that will give us the LDL, the HDL, and your triglycerides. It's also crucial for you to know, because there's a family history of diabetes, for you to know your renal function tests. You see, those with diabetes, unfortunately, one of the complications is the kidney damage, nephropathy. And that's why it's good to know a baseline kidney function. It's also important to know your blood count. That's your CBC. Your HB is one of those values. If there's a history of any sort of thyroid disease, then we'll add in a thyroid function in there. But those are the preliminary blood tests, your ABCs, knowing the HbA1c, knowing the cholesterol values, and then, of course, knowing if there's any sort of kidney disease based on what your blood pressure is. Those hematological investigations will give you a fair enough analysis of what's going on in the body. Remember, it should be a fasting blood test to give you a much better indicator of where your metabolic rates are. Hope that answers the question.
All right, we did have a call on the line. Sorry there, caller. I forgot you were there. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. Basically, I forgot I was on the call.
Yeah, buddy.
That's all right. I have a lot of minutes to have a free call, so that's fine. But Dr. Aqualian, at just around the same time that you were talking about the exercise, I am the person who sent in the values for the steps and the calories and all of that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, definitely. Tell us what you did recently.
Sorry?
So we remember the caller, and I'm glad that you're noting the amount of steps and the amount of calories you're burning. So tell us what you've been doing recently.
So I've been keeping that up so far for the year. Every day I've been eating 10,000 or more steps. I've been burning 500 or more calories. My time is usually between 90 to 100 and something minutes. So I'm I'm trying very hard to keep up with it, which I am doing so far. But I also wanted to emphasize what you just said, which is the fact that since I have started that regime and walking and doing my exercise, I personally, I can tell I am feeling much better, because what I try to do to prove to myself that I'm feeling better is while I'm walking, I try whistling while walking. And I have no problem doing it. I'm doing it comfortably. So I realize that my breathing is so much better. But almost 2 years since I had the heart attack. April is the 2 years since that heart attack. And I must say that I personally, this decision to start the exercise regime was one of the best decisions I made after the one that I made to quit smoking. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I am keeping up with that exercise regime and it is working fine for me.
So a round of applause to you, sir.
Caller, thank you so very much. And you sneaked in the statement about the stop smoking, but that's a big deal. So convinced on that. what I want all of our listeners to note, that it's two hands to clap. We as medical healthcare professionals can write the prescription. We can give you the advice. We really want you to take that next step. So, caller, thank you for waiting. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for that excellent testimony. To all of our listeners, exactly what we talked about. This is a patient who'd had a heart attack, and we wish that that never ever returns. But with your regime, I can guarantee that you're well on the way to recovery. You're also reducing your risk considerably by including your exercise regime and by stopping the smoking. The fact that you're now able to add the whistling to while you're walking shows that your breathing function, your breathing capacity, or the lung capacity has improved significantly. So you are doing your own self-test at home without medical devices, but seeing the improvements. And I hope all of our listeners recognize it's the consistent steps. In his case, he's keeping up to his regime. He has grand totals of 10,000 steps. To all those who are listening and going, I can't do that. Just start. Start with 2,000 steps. Walk around your house alone, and you might realize that you just clocked 3,000 steps. Do it a couple times more. During COVID, when we were not able to be out, I used the compound and went up and down steps. We had a couple other tenants joining us as well, and we got our steps in. Find ways to incorporate exercise, even if it means you're going outside and enjoying nature. Morning can be your deep breathing. Later in the afternoon can be your exercise. Find ways to incorporate exercise. Do it together as a team so you have an accountability partner. One mightn't be feeling up to the exercise in the morning, and then that particular partner will get you going. One day you might be the person making sure you get your accountability partner going. So do it together as groups, and let's make sure we optimize every single person in Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you so much, caller, again, for your incredible testimony.
All right, folks. Sorry, lost that one there. You listen to the Lunchtime Doctor. Of course, once again, we say many thanks going out to Dalton Brown, optometrist. Right here, of course, your eyesight is everything. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. All right, we lost that one as well. 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's try it again. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Miss.
I would like to know, since we are hearing that COVID is around again, I did all my shots. I had my flu shot last year. I want to know if I still have to go and get any flu shot this year. 6 months ago, I got my flu shot.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, yes, we have. The Minister of Health confirmed that there's been 5 COVID-19-related deaths since December to now. And when it comes to the signs and symptoms, we do. And we're very aware of the persons who are now presenting with very similar signs and symptoms. With respect to the vaccines that they've been offering back at these health centers, they're the influenza vaccine. And the thing about H1N1 or this influenza vaccine, it has a short half-life, so a short shelf life. Typically, because a virus can change or mutate, there are many variations, there are many variants, and it tends to be a different virus or mutated variant of that virus. Once a year has passed, we do need to optimize those who are at risk of any sort of respiratory viruses. So if you are someone with diabetes, high blood pressure, so those are non-communicable diseases, cancer patients, those are within the elderly category, or even our younger ones, we have specific recommendation for those, the at-risk, you're immunocompromised as well, it is recommended to get the flu vaccine. Because every year, well before COVID, every year around that September, October time, the flu vaccines are in the country available to prevent persons from these worsening respiratory conditions or complications of both the flu and COVID-19. So at present, the vaccines that are there are the H1N1. Past 6 months, it really would depend on what your comorbidities are. But either which way, please, let's make sure we protect your system. If you feel so inclined, yes, please go ahead. And when they assess you there at the site, they will make that recommendation if it's to hold on or if you can get the vaccine right away. But anyone who is at risk and you don't want the complications of this respiratory virus, please, let's make sure we protect ourselves and just reduce the risk. Remember what a vaccine is. It's to enable our bodies to have the antibodies within us, and the antibodies easily fight any sort of antigens or pathogens that enter our body. So I hope that answered the question. I get many messages to my phone directly about the same particular concern, and that's why I took the time to explain it in detail.
All right, thank you. Once again, folks, your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brong Optometrists take care of it for you. Dalton Brong Optometrists uses the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams, OCT testing, pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and more. Just ask. Dalton Brong Optometrists also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacle frames and sunglasses. They also provide soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts, all to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brong Optometrists today at 667-3115. That's 667-3115 for your consultation. Or you could visit them on social media at Dalton Brong Optometrists and check out their location, corner of Queen and Susano Streets in Orima. Lunchtime, Doctor. We go back to the phone lines. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Doctor. I am an amputee and my left foot, my toes came off with the amputation. So I suffer a lot of pain every day and night. Stiffness in my both legs. Very stiff. There's inflammation in my body. But what can I do about it? I was prescribed Alfen tablets. But I understand these tablets affect your kidneys and damage your kidneys. So I really didn't take any of it at all.
Thank you, sir, but you didn't share to us what the question is.
Well, you left already.
Okay, that's okay. So I'm not too sure if the question is about the Alfen tablets or in terms of the amputation. Now, let's talk a little bit about the medications. While certain medications do have side effects, they tend to be minimal in terms of the risk analysis. So if it is prescribed, they would have already assessed your renal function tests and looked specifically at the creatinine and know it was okay to make that prescription, to make that recommendation. So please continue with your medication because it will certainly help in the healing process once it was prescribed by the healthcare professional. Again, to all of our diabetics and to those who unfortunately have that compromise or complication of either having peripheral damage, so that's where the lower limbs are affected. If there's an infection, seek help right away. As with this caller, the infection may have gone from one thing to another and then unfortunately into an amputation. So let's do our best to prevent these complications because we are aware of them. The thing with diabetics in particular, they're very prone for foot disease because diabetics have a poor wound healing. So even if there's a little cut, it will take longer to heal. The mobilization of the cells that get to fight off infection, they take really long to reach the peripheries. There's also the loss of sensation. So one may have an injury and not even feel it. And that's why we recommend to all of our diabetic patients, check the feet, the toes, the nails every single day. Make sure if you're walking about, walk with socks, walk with some slippers. Do not walk bare feet. And of course, with your shoes, make sure it's comfortable footwear. Make sure, and yes, I have to say this, because we do have some trainees that might wear the same socks over and over. change the footwear into, say, change the sock wear so that there isn't any accumulation of sweat and risk of fungal infections, because all of that can worsen any infection on your feet. There's so much advice that we can give our diabetics when it comes to footwear. Those who would like more information, there is the Diabetic Association of Trinidad and Tobago. Regularly, there are as well across Trinidad and Tobago foot clinics. So make sure if you see an infection, you have any injury, get it checked out. I didn't quite get the full question for the patient, but I hope that at least gives some advice on what to do.
All right, we have a call on the line 5 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Doc. Question. My wife gave birth 6 months ago. I'm not sure the correct name for the injection. So she's fine now. So she's fine. She gets like 5. But after 6 months now, she gets in a little pain from my she's fine, come down to she legs. Anything regarding to that?
Definitely. Now, post, I don't know if you're still on the line, did she have a C-section or did she have normal delivery? Oh, he may not be there. So there are two different circumstances. Post delivery, 6 months thereafter, it's still crucially important that healing be allowed, even up to a year, 2 years. When we talk about pregnancy, we talk about three trimesters, but there's a fourth trimester, and that fourth trimester is after delivery. It takes 9 months to have the pregnancy. That means 9 months at least for recovery. So that pain, or I'm not too sure what is the injection for it, maybe pain that she's receiving, that pain can be associated to a number of things. During the pregnancy itself, there is that compression on a fair amount of nerves within the pelvic area, within the sciatica area. So it may be related to a sciatica nerve pain. So one, definitely at this time, there can be involved physiotherapy exercises. There's specific stretches that can help. And of course, I'm not too sure if she's still breastfeeding, but there are medications that can be administered either topically or systemically, as in those to ingest, that can help relieve that pain. But please stay consistent with the checkups, because it's something that most of our pregnancy patients experience. Another thing to be mindful of is the bending process. Sometimes persons have their cribs and it's quite low down. So the pregnant patient or post-delivery, in the postpartum time, they have to bend all the way down, and that puts a severe strain on the lumbar area of the back. That's the lower back. So keep in mind all those different things that may be happening, that area needs to get the time to heal. You see, during pregnancy, the ligaments, the nerves, the tendons are all really stretched, and now they need to get that reinforcement. So there may be, as we mentioned, physiotherapy exercises to help that area heal. Again, we'll need a little bit more information to have a better idea. So if you're there, back next week Monday when we're on the lunchtime program, send it in as a message, call, and we can give you a little bit more details on exactly what to do. But I hope what we shared here today definitely helps put a little bit of an alarm into what not to do to worsen the pain. Hope that answers your question.
All right, we have just a little under 2 minutes. All right. Hi, Dr. Good day. I would like to find out how can I conceive after trying IUI and IVF for 5 years in the past and was unsuccessful. What are some tips that can assist both the hubby and I in this process closing into 40? Keep up the blessed work.
Now, this is a heavy question. Thank you for messaging in. And I say it's heavy because I understand that journey, the intrauterine in vitro, the in vitro fertilization, the IVF. It's not an easy journey. We just about only have 1 minute for the rest of the program. So here's what I can guarantee you I'm going to do. Definitely next week, Monday, I'm chiseling this in, writing it in. So first thing on the program, we're going to address infertility. First and foremost, I just want to wish you courage and peace, because it's not an easy journey at all. It took us 3 years, and yes, I'm also, and I've shared this right here, one of my personal medical diagnosis was primary infertility. So I understand parts of that journey, because we were eventually successful in having a baby. So we'll address that a little bit more on Monday, but I definitely want to wish you courage and peace on this journey. So stay tuned. We will answer that question in much more detail with the time allocated to be able to do justice to that answer, that question.
All right, Doctor. Thank you very much. And that's the Lunchtime Doctor for this week.
Definitely. We're on the button. Again, warm appreciation to all of our loyal listeners, and of course, our sponsors and the entire TBC team that makes this program happen for you all, our cherished listeners. Be safe out there.
All right. Thank you very much, Doctor. Catch you on Monday. And once again, thank you again to Dalton Brown, optometrist. You could, of course, call them at 667-3115. Check them out on social media, Dalton-Brown Optometrist, and check out their location at the corner of Queen and Susano Streets in Arima. Remember, your eyesight is everything. Do enjoy the rest of your day, folks. And many thanks to everybody listening to Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.